Chapter 28. The Scorpion sloop of war lay in Lewis Harbor all that winter and spring, probably upon the slim chance of a return of the pirates. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning and Lieutenant Maynard was sitting in Squire Hall's office, fanning himself with his hat and talking in a desultory fashion. Suddenly the dim and distant noise of a great crowd was heard from without, coming nearer and nearer. The squire and his visitor hurried to the door. Crowd was coming down the street shouting, jostling, struggling, some on the footway, some in the roadway. Heads were at the doors and windows, looking down upon them. Nearer they came, and nearer, then at last they could see that the press surrounded and accompanied one man. It was Hiram White, hatless, coatless, the sweat running down his face in streams, but stolid and silent as ever. Over his shoulder he carried a bag, tied round and round with a rope. It was not until the crowd, and the man it surrounded had come quite near, that the squire and the lieutenant saw that a pair of legs in gray yarn stockings hung from the bag. It was a man he was carrying. Hiram had lugged his burden 5 miles that morning without help, and with scarcely a rest on the way. He came directly toward the squire's office, and, still sun-rounded and hustled by the crowd, up the steep steps to the office within. He flung his burden heavily upon the floor without a word, and wiped his streaming forehead. The squire stood with his knuckles on his desk, staring first at Hiram, and then at the strange burden he had brought. A sudden hush fell upon all, though the voices of those without sounded as loud and turbulent as ever. "What is it, Hiram?" at last. Then for the first time Hiram spoke, panting thickly. "It's a bloody murderer," said he, pointing a quivering finger at the motionless figure. "Here, some of you," called out the squire. "Man, who is he?" Rope and the bag was slipped from the head and body. Hair and face and eyebrows and clothes were powdered with meal, but, in spite of all, and through all the innocent whiteness, dark spots and blotches and smears of blood showed upon head and arm and shirt. Levi raised himself upon his elbow, and looked scowlingly around at the amazed, wonderstruck faces surrounding him. "Why, it's Levi West," croaked the squire, at last finding his voice. Then, suddenly, Lieutenant Maynard pushed forward, before the others crowded around the figure on the floor, and, clutching Levi by the hair, dragged his head backward so as to better see his face. "Levi West. Levi West you've been telling me of? Look at that scar and the mark on his cheek. This is Blueskin himself." Ziv in the chest which Blueskin had dug up out of the sand, were found not only the goldsmith's bills taken from the packet, but also many other valuables belonging to the officers and the passengers of the unfortunate ship. The New York agents offered Hiram a handsome reward for his efforts in recovering the lost bills, but Hiram declined it, positively and finally. "All I want," said he, in his usual dull, stolid fashion, "is to have folks know I'm honest." Nevertheless, though he did not accept what the agents of the packet offered, fate took the matter into its own hands, and rewarded him not unsubstantially. Blueskin was taken to England in the Scorpion. But he never came to trial. Hanged himself to the cell window with his own stockings. The news of his end was brought to Lewis in the early autumn, and Squire Hall took immediate measures to have the £500 of his father's legacy duly transferred to Hiram. In November, Hiram married the pirate's widow. The Book of Pirates,